The Adoption Authority has published its annual report today showing that there were 79 domestic adoption orders granted in 2019. Most of them were to step-parent applications. The authority also received 560 applications to the voluntary register that mediates contact between adoptees and birth relatives. Patricia Carey is the CEO of the Adoption Authority of Ireland, and she's on the line now. Patricia, how has the pandemic affected your work over the last couple of weeks and months?
Good afternoon. Well, I'm actually delighted to say it hasn't affected our work, that we've been fully operational throughout COVID. We were very conscious of families who are waiting for adoption orders to be granted, families who are coming to us and other professionals for hearings. So with the support of the chairman, Dr. Shannon, we put in measures in place that we could have remote hearings. So we actually have had extra board meetings to facilitate applications where children are reaching the age of 18. And as a public body, we've been fully operational using remote hearings to facilitate and hear people, and actually have granted over 20 adoption orders via Zoom, which at the start of the process was quite unusual. But I think the families were delighted that, you know, at the start they couldn't travel, but their children were not going to miss out on an opportunity to be adopted. So we're actually very proud of our achievements as a public body in serving all members of the adoption community and facilitating remote hearings and people talking to us remotely.
Okay, and 79 domestic adoption orders were granted in 2019. Most of them were to step-parents. What does the law say now about step-parents and adopting their own children?
Well, I suppose there's been a change since 2017, where previously, I think, and it was reported on your own programme, that mothers had to adopt their own child if their husband or partner was adopting as a step-parent, and that thankfully has now gone. So the step-parent is adopting the child, and I think that has, a lot of families now have come forward because the previous regime was slightly unpalatable. But we're also delighted that there's an increase in children who are in long-term foster care who are coming forward to be adopted by those foster families as well. And I think that's very important when there are significant numbers of children in the state in long-term foster care for whatever reason.
There were 48 declarations of eligibility and suitability for people who wanted to adopt from abroad. Where are people adopting from now? Which countries?
So we have a very small program with a small number of countries because we believe we want to have full oversight of those countries. So we work very closely with Thailand, the Philippines, Vietnam, also with Haiti. We opened a program with them recently, and China and the United States. So I suppose we believe as a country that we want to have full due diligence on all of those countries, have established excellent relationships with the governments in those countries and the embassies abroad. So we work small number of countries, but very, very excellent high standard inter-country adoptions.
The report also says there were 560 applications to the voluntary register that mediates contact between adoptees and birth relatives. There are a lot of people still looking for information about the circumstances of births. What are you seeing? What patterns are you seeing emerging there?
So we're seeing a lot more sibling matches. We're seeing people come forward where, you know, we know that probably up to 30% of families there was more than one child adopted, and we're facilitating those when two siblings come forward on the register. It is a passive register, so we have to have both parties on it. And we're always particularly encouraging of older people and birth parents to register. International research shows that two-thirds of people who register on these types of adoption contact registers are adoptees. But we would very much encourage older birth mothers and birth fathers to register, and we can then mediate contact. Some people may only want information, or medical information is critical. Some people may want to share letters or phone calls. And then obviously some people want to meet in person.
And there were 115 cases then when there was a potential match identified between the applicants and the birth family who had previously joined the register.
Yes, and that's always very positive. Sometimes the register is going since 2005 and we've nearly 15,000 people on it. Someone might have joined in 2008 and then in 2019 somebody else joined. So we will still do a lot of work in the background. Social workers will be tracing to find those people, put them in touch at the level that both party agrees to. But always what I say when I talk to yourselves is that we particularly encouraging older persons, birth parents, to come forward and put their names on the register.
Now, the authority also got a substantial number of files from Cunav Adoption Agency, that's formerly the Catholic Protection and Rescue Society of Ireland, which was established in 1913. What's the significance of those files?
Well, I suppose the significance, I mean, you've given away the clue in the date, 1913, the year of the lockout, that this agency was established, the oldest adoption society in Ireland, and for a myriad of reasons they decided to close their operations. And as a state agency, we have a duty to protect and preserve those files, and also to provide a service. Those files contain 6,000 adoption files, so as the Adoption Authority of Ireland, we will be providing a service for people whose lives are contained in those files.
All right, Patricia Carey, CEO of the Adoption Authority of Ireland, thanks for joining us on the News at One. We'll